And we're turning here tonight because I need a little more time. I've done all the work a while back on the scripture in Matthew. We came back to Numbers this morning. I'm going to wait another week to come back to Matthew, partly because I'd like a little more time. It's a pretty tough scripture, the unpardonable sin. So I want to just have more time to review and revisit it. But the other reason is this scripture really came to mind to me a lot this week. And then I noticed, oh, it's two other scriptures that say about the same thing. And then yesterday, while I was overhearing a young lady practicing her speech, she was speaking about the benefits of laughter. And she was talking about how it lowers your heart pressure. It gives you better heart pressure, blood pressure, excuse me. And I thought, boy, I just really would like to look at this some more. So we considered last week that music can minister. So this week we're going to kind of have almost a series, and we're going to consider how laughter can minister, how laughter can minister. So turn with me, Proverbs 15, verses 13 and 15, and then Proverbs 17, verse 22. And they're very similar, so we're going to consider them together as a whole and kind of summarize them together. Hear now the word of God. Proverbs 15, verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Now look at verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Now turn ahead to chapter 17, and this is really the verse I always think of first. I guess I just know it, I'm a little more familiar with it. Verse 22. Verse 22 of Proverbs 17. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And the part that I was thinking about a lot this week was, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And here's a little bit of the story of how I thought of this verse and how it's blessed us all week. And I hope it'll bless us this week and bless you a lot this week. Well, Fernanda was sharing with me how she was taking English lessons in Brazil. And sometimes people would laugh, and I get a little mad. They shouldn't laugh at you. But I guess they would laugh at each other and have fun. And sometimes I'm too defensive for my wife. But sometimes the way she would pronounce something, she said, I need an egg in my mouth. Then I can pronounce English correctly. I said, yeah, I guess that could help maybe, you know. And I thought about, I mean, I'm not saying about that you, honey, but I guess I see how the way our words are spoken, I can see that. And I thought of My Fair Lady. Get that image out of your head, you know. Then I thought of My Fair Lady, the musical, and I couldn't find it, but I'm pretty sure they put rocks in her mouth at one time to learn how to try to speak the way you form your words. But what was funny about it is that she would say things the way she would emphasize and exaggerate how she would say a word, and people would laugh when she's trying English. And I couldn't help but think of a clip from a movie. She's almost starting to struggle not to laugh. I'll have to be careful here. There's a clip in a movie from The Pink Panther 2. And I can't condone the whole movie, but thankfully you can get a lot of good clips outside of the whole movie on YouTube. So that's kind of one of the places I go to a lot for help. And it's just the funniest scene where Steve Martin is pretending to be French. I can't think of the name. I was going to say Jacques Cousteau. that's the wrong movie. Professor Clouseau, right? Not Professor, but Inspector Clouseau, forgive me. And he's been assigned to this big job because they want him to fail. And he's not very good at what he does. He's kind of stupid, I guess you could say, you know, to say it in French. Just kidding. We're having fun saying one day we're going to learn French and go to France. We're practicing. I'll order the French fries, the chocolate mousse, s'il vous plaît. Okay, sorry. So he's talking with a strong, yeah, I know, Mike Delgado saying, don't quit your day job, buddy, I know. So we're thinking about that, and I thought, I can't help it. It makes me think about what you said, Fernanda, and there's this scene where he says, I'm going to go to America. And I must learn how to speak English so I will not be discovered. They will think I am American, you know. So he's in this room and a lady's teaching him proper English. I think she's British. And she's teaching him how to say, I want to buy a hamburger. And then he goes, I want to buy a hamburger. You know, no, let's try again. I want to buy baby, a hamburger, a hamburger. No, a hamburger, hamburger. I want to buy a hamburger. It says, maybe we should just stop. And he says, no, no, we do not quit. We do not quit. Let's try again. And then there's another scene later on where he's in America and he can't get enough of these hamburgers. And so he takes his friend's hamburgers. He's got four of them. He stuffs them in his coat. You know, he's going to sneak them on the plane, you know, and he's got his hands in his coat so he can try to hide the hamburgers. And he's going through security and he gets called over by security. And somebody switched his bag, so it's got all these weapons in it. He's like, oh, I don't know where they came from. And so he's got his hands in his bags, and they think he's got more weapons. And he won't take his hands out of the bag, out of his pockets, because he doesn't want to show what he's got. And they think he's got guns. He's got hamburgers. And he doesn't want. And then they keep saying, what do you have? What do you have? And all the police are coming over with their guns. And then they get the German Shepherd dog. And he says, okay, and he says, what? The hamburger. So he can't communicate. He's got hamburgers. So then the dog attacks him, you know, and he's going like this. So it's just hilarious. And we laugh every time we see it. In fact, Fernanda's kind of mad at me, I think, because she's struggling not to lose it right now. Because the thing is, when I show her, she says, that's exactly it. That's how we say hamburger. Hamburger. Something like that. Sorry. That's how we actually say it in Brazil. You know? I said, oh, it's pretty funny. She was just laughing and keeling over, and she's got this great guttural, deep chest laugh when she really loses it, and she rolls around. We laughed like crazy. We just keep watching it all week, and then we quote it to each other and the kids and just laugh. It's kind of nice. Just like what you're all doing right now. You're laughing. I'm kind of glad. I wasn't sure how this is going to go, but it's okay. You know, but I'm already laughing. I have a couple of tears down my eyes, and don't you kind of feel good? Don't you feel like you maybe took some good medicine or something? Yeah. Well, that's the idea. We laugh like crazy. We keep going back to it. We had, you see, great release of daily stresses. In fact, I said, hey, let's watch a couple of these, a couple other clips, because it just made us laugh. And it just relieves the stress of the day, and it increases our mood, our happy mood. It's nice. Just laughing does your body good. And when your body laughs, it has an effect on your soul. I couldn't help but think of Proverbs 17, verse 22, when we were laughing so hard at this hamburger video. And I just want to keep talking about it. I laugh every time I watch it. I couldn't help but think of it. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Some people are too cool. They'll never laugh. You know what I mean? I don't need that. I need to laugh. But I was reminded when I looked it up, which verse is it now? Merry heart. Two other verses came up that we read. Proverbs 15, verses 13 and 15 say the same thing, essentially a little different, but they say the same thing with effect. So three times within just a few chapters of Proverbs, we're told that a merry heart does you a lot of good. We're also told the opposite is true, but I want to focus on the positive tonight. Just notice this, though. The repetition is significant. Three times the Proverbs say, very close together, it is a good thing to have a merry heart. If you decide to have a merry heart, you can change your whole day, your whole night, your whole life by choosing to have a merry heart. This does not mean we don't have a heavy heart with true things. I'll give some disclaimers on that later. Remember, we looked at last week, it's okay to cry to God and come to worship to cry to God. We saw that with Hannah. God answered her prayers. So it's not that we don't come with crying and heavy heart. But there's a point where you don't want to be sad all the time. And, you know, there's a point in your life where you know you're going to be sad maybe for years. And so you got to decide, how am I going to survive this? Well, I submit to you, one of the best ways is laughter. Choosing to find some laughter, choosing to take a laughter break, you know. Three times you need a merry heart. Oh, it'll do you good. Three times it's repeated. So what is it saying to you? What is this repetition saying to you? What is this repetition saying to you? You need to laugh. Right, Isaac? You need to laugh. You need to laugh. Sorry, it's keep it going. You feel better again, huh? As I teased you earlier, oh, you're going to get a strong rebuke from the pulpit tonight. Thou must laughest. You got to laugh. Come on. Right, you know. And sometimes this person, they won't. You just kind of, don't you laugh now. And then they're happy, right? Yeah. That's a ministry right there. Okay. Let's see if we can get through this together. You need to laugh. Here's the essence of these three proverbs together. Here's the general idea of them I submit to you. While sad hearts cause sick and empty souls, glad hearts can cure and fill them up. Let me say that again. I think this is essentially what the Proverbs together are teaching, the same idea. While sad hearts cause sick and empty spirits, glad hearts can cure and fill them up. It doesn't mean that you can change your circumstances, but you can change the way you deal with your circumstances. I want to share with you, a bit lengthy, but I was curious hearing this lady speak yesterday about the benefits, the medical benefits of laughter to your body. I want to share some things I learned, just what it can do for you physically. It can cause you to live longer. First place I went to is called helpguide.org, Trusted Guide to Mental and Emotional Health. And this article was, Laughter is the Best Medicine, the Health Benefits of Humor and Laughter. So it's really kind of expressing what the Proverbs say, what it does to your body and your soul. I read for you in part. There's a lot more in the article if you'd like to go read it. I'll read for you in part what it says. It says this, Laughter is a powerful antidote to stress, pain, and conflict. Nothing works faster or more dependably to bring your mind and body back into balance than a good laugh. I want to buy a hamburger. I don't know how long I'll get away with that tonight, but I'm going to keep trying. Humor, it goes on to say, humor helps you to release anger and be more forgiving. The ability to laugh easily and frequently is a tremendous resource for surmounting problems, enhancing your relationships, and supporting both physical and emotional health. Best of all, this priceless medicine is fun, free, and easy to use. And I've already experienced that because you guys can't help it. You're laughing. Which, again, I'm relieved. I'm not that funny when I try to be funny, but it's working. Laughter, they go on to teach us some of the benefits of laughter. Laughter relaxes the whole body. A good, hearty laugh relieves physical tension and stress, leaving your muscles relaxed for up to 45 minutes after. If you can have a good laugh, it's like you gave yourself a back rub, you know? And you can have like 45 minutes of just release of tension in your muscles. That's a good idea. Laughter, they say, boosts the immune system. The immune system is what fights disease. They go on to say, laughter decreases stress hormones and increases immune cells and infection-fighting antibodies, thus improving your resistance to disease. Laughter triggers the release of endorphins. Those are the same feelings, the same natural body drugs that you get when you exercise, right? Laughter releases endorphins, the body's natural feel-good chemicals. Endorphins promote an overall sense of well-being and can even temporarily relieve pain. Laughter protects the heart. Laughter improves the function of blood vessels and increases blood flow. I guess that's why I turn all red when I'm laughing usually. And it can help protect you against a heart attack and other cardiovascular problems. Laughter burns calories. Oh, this is a good one. One study found that laughing for 10 to 15 minutes a day can burn about 40 calories, which could be enough to lose 3 or 4 pounds over the course of a year. That's not a lot, but At least it's going down on the scale, right? I couldn't help but think, can you imagine a laughter gym? You know, I'm going to join the laughter gym. You know, we come in here, you see all these people in line going, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha. You know, I don't know. But, you know, what are you doing? We're burning calories, baby. All right, you know, or at least add it to your exercise regimen, you know. I mean, hey, if it's going to burn calories, sign me up. I was hoping you'd laugh at that. Laugh. I'm happy. I'm helping you lose calories tonight. Do you see how your minister loves you? All right. Laughter lightens anger's heavy load. Do you have, any of you like me have need to be less angry? Well, here's a good way. Try to laugh. Speaking of lifting anger's heavy load, I couldn't help but think of this. Have you seen the movie Mary Poppins? One of the uncles, the kids go to see the uncles, and there's this whole song. I love to laugh. I can't remember the rest of it. But they are literally on the ceiling, right? Their laughter makes them so light. They're on the ceiling. They're doing twirls. Now, obviously, it's a silly movie, but there's an aspect of that. It lightens anger's heavy load. Nothing diffuses anger and conflict faster than a shared laugh. Looking at the funny side can put problems into perspective and enable you to move on from confrontations without holding on to bitterness or resentment. It's just hard to be angry when you're laughing, right? Laughter may even help you to live longer. I couldn't help but think of George Burns, a famous comedian. I mean, I don't think he had the greatest lifestyle. The man lived to 90, I think, 90-something, right? And I actually can't help but think about Grandma. She's got one of the easiest attitudes, Grandma Renner, I've ever met. And can't you hear her laugh in your head right now? She laughs easy, doesn't she? She's 95. And sometimes we marvel that she's still with us. Her body is so frail. Maybe it's partly the laughter she takes every day, you know? Laughter may even help you to live longer. A study in Norway found that people with a strong sense of humor outlived those who don't laugh as much. The difference was particularly noticeable for those battling cancer. Those battling cancer lived longer in their battle because they were able to laugh. And that's what the scripture is teaching us tonight. I mean, you can really affect your life to the degree it could lengthen your lifespan. By laughing. Because you can imagine if you have been diagnosed with cancer that, or whatever disease or something very bad in your life has happened, there's just a heavy, heavy load on you. And a way to survive that is laughter. Another resource, mayoclinic.org, the short-term benefits and the long-term effects or benefits of laughter. And again, I'm only giving you a little bit. It's a pretty long article. I encourage you to go back to read it. I didn't read it all. I'd like to. There's a lot that they say, but here's a few things. Here's some short-term effects of laughter. Maybe you can consider, have you experienced this even tonight as we've been giggling a little bit together? Stimulate your organs. Stimulate many organs. And maybe that's why we like to tickle each other, you know, but stimulates the inside organs. It's like laughter tickles your funny bone, we say, are your organs and stimulates them healthy, just like we try to fund one another's tickle spots. Because it does make you laugh, right? Or it makes them hit you. It depends. Olivia has karate. She's just got this natural karate. When I even look like I'm going to tickle her, you know, I can't even get near her. But most of us, we can reach and find their tickle spot, and they laugh. Stimulates your organs. Laughter enhances your intake of oxygen-rich air, they write. Laughter stimulates your hearts, your lungs, and muscles, and increases the endorphins that are released by your brain. Laughter does this. Don't you find yourself a lot of times, once you're calming down from a good laugh, as we wash the tears off our eyes, oh boy, it's like we just had a workout. Right? It stimulates all the organs, gets the breathing going, gets the blood flowing. And I know this is overlap, but if you'll allow me to continue. The Mayo Clinic says the short-term benefits of laughter, it activates and relieves your stress response. And we've looked at that. But it goes on to explain, laughter can increase your heart rate. It can increase your blood pressure and makes a good, relaxed feeling. You usually feel pretty relaxed after you've had a good laugh. physically, but also emotionally. It soothes tension. Laughter soothes tension, they say. They write, laughter can also stimulate circulation and aid muscle relaxation, both of which can help produce some of the physical symptoms. Help reduce some of the physical symptoms of stress. Do you hear how often laughter is coming up as an antidote, a medicine for stress? Now, long-term effects, the Mayo Clinic will tell us, here's some long-term effects of laughter. So I would think that would mean that we laugh long and hard and long over the years to have its benefit. First, long-term effect, it says, it improves your immune system, as we've discussed. Negative thoughts manifest into chemical reactions that can affect your body by bringing more stress into your system and decreasing your immunity, your thinking. This is why Jesus in Matthew 6 tells us, change the way you think. This is why Paul says in Philippians 4, change the way you think. If you're stressed, change how you think. We can do that, and then that affects how we feel, and that affects our benefits. But notice, in the Proverbs, we're not focusing on it, but they also say three times, if you have a sorrowful way of going about things, it's going to make you sick. That's what it says. It strikes the soul. So notice it says your negative thoughts manifest themselves into chemical products in your body that just stresses you out, makes you sick. But it goes on to say, in contrast, positive thoughts can actually release neuropeptides that help fight stress and potentially more serious illnesses. So again, if you give yourself to the hard work of finding ways to laugh, and once you get started, it isn't too hard to keep laughing, you're actually probably helping your long-term lifespan and health. Laughter relieves pain long-term as well. They write, laughter may ease pain by causing the body to produce its own natural painkillers. Maybe our aches and pains will be a little bit less because our body has these painkillers that kind of take care of the pain. Laughter increases personal satisfaction. They write, laughter can also make it easier to cope with difficult situations. It also helps you connect with other people. It builds fellowship. It connects and builds peace. This is very, very helpful for our overall life and joy. Lastly, the Mayo Clinic says, laughter improves your mood. Laughter can help lessen your depression and anxiety and may make you feel happier. I don't know how you can laugh and not feel happier. Laughter can minister. That's the message. I'm not done. We got more, but that was a long introduction. But I was so struck with how these medical reports share what the Proverbs teach is true. They testify to its truth. The message is laughter can minister. Music we saw last week can minister. Tonight we share laughter can minister to yourself and to one another. Laughter can minister. You know, think about this. Many comedians will share with you the reason they became comedians is because they were trying to make their family laugh. A lot of times these comedians, not always, but a lot of times they've come from difficult lives, sad lives. Their parents very depressed over things, and they would just try to get their parents to laugh. And they got pretty good at it by practice. And then they liked making people laugh. They liked making people happy and feel better. That's why a lot of comedians do it. Well, there's other reasons, but that's a lot of times why they get into it. Because they started doing it. I've learned they also did it to make bullies laugh so they didn't beat them up. But fine. But they did it to make themselves, to make their family laugh when they had hard times. So there's a cause and effect to laughter, you see. Causing someone to laugh causes something to be better for someone. And that's what the Proverbs are showing us. If we have ears to hear and we have the wisdom to take this and practice it, we've got it. We're landing on a gold mine here tonight, beloved. Just as a little while ago, twice it said in the Proverbs that before honor, humility, that's a repetition. But tonight, three times, more than if you want honor, be humble. Three times, if you want health, be happy. you can choose how to do it. Here's the way. You can choose a certain disposition that affects how you handle your life. There's a cause and effect. I want you to see that in each of these verses, they have the same antithetical parallelism. There's a contrast in each of the verses. Let's look at them again to see it. The first and the last one start with the good, end with the bad. I think the middle one starts with the bad, ends with the good. But notice in each verse, it's showing us, look, there is a cause and effect. There is a way to make yourself feel better. There is a way to cause yourself to feel worse. The choice is yours. But notice the contrast of these causes. First, verse 13 of Proverbs 15. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. So let's look at that first. You see the cause and effect. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. If you work at finding ways to be happy and laugh, guess what it does? It makes you happy. It makes you feel better. There's a cause and effect. You can do this. But the opposite is also true. But he that is of a... I'm in the wrong place. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. In the Hebrew, you could translate that stricken. So sorrow of the heart can bring you down. That's why some people say, I don't want to be around certain people because they just bring me down all the time. They just don't want to be happy. Some people just refuse to be happy. And they can drag you down. I'm not saying we shouldn't minister to those people with laughter. We should still try. Tell them about the hamburger. But, you know, the reality is for ourselves, if we choose sorrow, sorrow will consume us. Can you remember in Pilgrim's Progress? Pilgrim is on his journey, and he comes across, I don't know if it's a lady or a man, in a cage. I can't remember the details, but generally I think it's there where they just refuse to be happy. They're in their own prison of despair, and they don't want to get out of it. Sorrow can make you sad. You choose. But notice each has a cause and an effect. If we choose to be sorrowful, we will stay sorrowful and it'll get worse. If we choose to be merry, we will get happier and it'll get better. This is the truth of God's word. It's a contrast of two causes and two effects. And it's the same thing in the next verse. Look with me at verse 15. Yes, all the days of the afflicted, so the contrast is flipped here. The negative first. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Ah, affliction comes, and if you just dwell in your affliction, and why am I so afflicted? You're just going to make yourself sicker. It's like you're going to be beating yourself with sorrow. You could have the attitude of David in the Psalms. Psalm 119, he says many times, it was good that I am afflicted. It was good that I was afflicted. It brought me closer to you, God. It brought me closer to your word. Thank you for afflicting me. You used it to bring me closer to you, and that was good. You see, we can choose how to look at a problem. We can choose how to remember that, yeah, this is a bad, evil thing that's happening to me, but God says he's working all things for my good, to conform me more to the image of Christ, Romans 8, 28 and 29. So notice, on the contrast, positively in verse 15, but, doesn't have to be that way, the proverb's saying. He that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. He that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. I can't help but think Fernanda and I kind of went out for ice cream last night on the spur. We just did it. And she got like this tower of ice cream. It was like the Leaning Tower of ice cream. You know, in France, the other tower. Yeah, Tower of Pisa. It was this huge thing of ice cream. She got coconut, pineapple on the bottom and strawberry on the top. And they even didn't give her as much. It was kind of like this tottering thing. You know, we had to get a cup for the excess. And it was so good. It was mutabom. And we were eating it in the van. And we were like kids. It's just, we chose to go get ice cream and laugh about it and be happy. That's one of your assignments. Go get some ice cream. Wait till tomorrow. Go get some ice cream and be happy. Go try a crazy flavor and joke about it. You know, a continual feast is what brings that to mind. We sat there for a while. She got full, and I ministered to her, and I finished hers for her, you know, and I was happy to do it, and it made us happy. See, it's fun. You think about when you're a kid and you got ice cream with your parents, you know, simple things. You can choose to go just do things to make you happy. She likes to go to the bakery to feel happy. We did that too the other day. Hey, I like sweets too, you know. Okay. We have a lot of funny memories, including my birthday cake in, sorry, I won't say too much or I will get in trouble. In Boston, it was my birthday, and she did a marvelous job, but we ended up having the little minions on it, you know, like from Despicable Me, and they were laying down, and they were chewable candy, so I ate some of them later. And they had the candles, and once the candles were out, it was so funny, it looked like a battlefield, you know, the smoke was going, and I think a candle or two were like the kind you have to blow hard to get them out, and so there was much battle on this field, the yellow field, and the minions were all there as if they had been dead in the battle, and it was hilarious, so we took a video, sent it to the kids. We still talk about it. It's this silly thing, and it's fun to think about it and laugh. The continual feast is making me think about food. But you see, don't we enjoy having a good food? And it says when we choose a merry heart, instead of being famished, instead of having a famine, an unholy fast that makes us lose unhealthy weight and makes us, you know, unhealthy, we can have a continual feast with joy. And even the difference between our eating habits can vary based on sadness and gladness. Sorry, Fernanda, I won't say anything more about the birthday cake, but it makes me laugh. Here's essentially what we're looking at. Oh, pardon me, let's look at 17 verse 22 now. See the contrast again. See the contrast, the antithetical parallelism with a choice to be made. If you choose this, it will cause this in you. Or you can choose this and it will cause this in you. Your choice, but what you choose will have its effect. It will be the cause of the effect. Proverbs 17, verse 22. Isaac, pay attention. Isaac 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And again, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I think about that a lot, you know. That's what I was thinking about. Oh, I was laughing at this hamburger and loving watching Fernando laugh and... I just thought of this verse, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Doesn't this feel good? What easy, wonderful medicine. Thank the Lord for funny people. You know what I mean? Thank God for funny people that can make us laugh. Now, of course, maybe I should give this disclaimer. There'll be others later. You got to be careful. Some of the people that make me laugh the hardest, I can't watch some of their things. They get too crass. They get too dirty. And they should not be watched. So you have to be careful. And remember, when I quote a video clip from YouTube, I'm not endorsing necessarily the whole movie. I try to make those things clear and leave them for you to decide. But, you know, there's some humor that is maybe still funny, but it's dirty. Or there's some humor that is maybe not really funny. It's very mean and hurtful. And we don't want anything to do with that kind of humor or comedians. But thank God for funny people who know how to make us laugh. Sometimes the best thing you can do to help yourself is to go rent a funny movie. Just take a break from the pain and the sorrow and the struggle. Give yourself like you would give yourself an exercise break. Sometimes I'm like, I have to exercise. I can't get the stress away. I got to exercise. After I exercise, the endorphins, I feel good. It didn't change anything except me, right? Same thing with laughter. It's like, I just need to excuse myself for a laughter break. Sometimes a nap break, but a laughter break. And after I have a good laugh, I feel better. I can deal with life a little better, which helps me praise the Lord and read the scripture because I'm not distracted by depression and discouragement as much. It's a great medicine. Again, verse 22 of Proverbs 17, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you have pain in your body, now I know some of you are less quick to do this, but if you have serious pain in your body, whether it is sharp or aching, are you not likely to ask the doctor for something to take for that? A pill? You know, headache, you might take some ibuprofen. If you have a big injury, you might take a little Tylenol, something to ease the pain. Well, we're being told from the Proverbs, look, life is hard. There's many sorrows and problems that you have to work through. And they're not going to go away. So in the meantime, here's what you can do to ease the pain. Go have a good laugh. You need to laugh. Take a laughter pill. Go take a laughter pill. It's good medicine. But the opposite again is true. A broken spirit dries the bones. A broken spirit drieth the bones. Why won't you take your medicine? You know? If you don't take what you need, you won't get what you need. Take our laughter pills. So, in all of these proverbs, the negative half is something like this. Sorrowful hearts will lead to further suffering. Sorrowful hearts will lead to further suffering. A sorrowful heart is something you can control and work with. I can tell you that. I can leverage that if you want me to. Something that is real, but it's something you can choose to work with. A sorrowful heart leads to further suffering if that's what you choose for yourself. But the positive side, and what we're emphasizing tonight, glad, joyful hearts are like applying oil or cream to your faces. Makes them shine and smooth and feel and smell better. That's what the Proverbs are saying. The countenance. A glad, joyful heart, when you choose that, it's like you will fill yourself up with contentment like enjoying a good home-cooked meal. Can I have seconds, please? Ooh, are we having dessert? That's what it's like to have a merry heart. Contentment, it's like filling up yourself with a continual feast. Satisfying, that is. Instead of an emptiness, an aching emptiness, you can feel full and be satisfied by choosing gladness. A glad, joyful heart heals like taking medicine. That's the positive commentary contrasted with the other way. But in each case, the Proverbs are teaching wisdom for you to choose. That's what the Proverbs are. Here is wisdom for life. That's what the Proverbs are. The Proverbs are, as my Hebrew professor said once in a sermon, the Proverbs are inviting you to experience these truths. They are true. But they're speaking about it in a way that's inviting you. Come and find out for yourself. No, seriously. Take this B12 vitamin. Finally, I had enough sense to listen to Mr. Delgado, and unbelievable. When I started taking the B12s, same thing you said, I don't need naps anymore. I always needed a nap. Nothing in my life changed. But when you told me that, I said, it's about time I try. And the only reason I tried is because they were cheap on sale on the clearance rack at Ralph's. So I said, well, I might as well finally try them. And now I'm drinking more water. I'm trying to eat healthier and all these things. But the B12 was the big change. So the same thing. Take your vitamin L12. I don't know. Take your vitamin pill of laughter. Take it and find out that it does something for you. The proverb is saying, this is true. Try it out. This is true. Try it out. Stop trying that out. You know that's true, don't you? You want more of that again? Well, that's what you're choosing. How about you choose this? Try it out. The Proverbs are welcoming us to have wisdom. Wisdom is knowing how to choose the right thing and not the wrong thing in life that can be confusing and difficult. Wise people know how to choose the best thing morally. That's wisdom. It's not so much dealing with intellect as it is with knowing how to recognize and choose what is best. And it's expecting that wise people will put this information to use. So what will you do with it, beloved? Besides showing a contrast of two causes and effects, a merry heart makes you happier, a sorrowful heart makes you worse. Besides showing you this constant contrast, it's also putting before you, you have a choice to make. There is a cause and an effect going one way or the other, and so you have a choice to make. Which way will you choose for yourself and for others all around you? Which will you choose for yourself? It's putting a choice before you. By this repetition, it's saying, choose wisely, my friend. Choose wisely. And what is the wise choice? Which causes the better choice because of the better effect? Not sorrow. Laughter. Laughter is the better choice. Now, let me again make a few disclaimers here. I don't want to seem Pollyannish about this. I don't want to make life of real sorrow, and you know I can talk about that. I want to talk about happiness and laughter tonight, but I don't want to discourage crying. Remember again, Hannah cried to the Lord and it was good and he answered her prayer. There are real problems. There are real pains we need to bring to the Lord. But he might say to us, in the meantime, are you taking your medicine? I might let you go through this a little longer before things get better. Are you taking your medicine? Are you taking your laughter pills? Are you choosing to have a merry heart and to do what Jesus and Paul says in Matthew 6 and Philippians 4, choose to focus on the good things? Yes, there are bad things. There's good and bad in all of us, and there's good and bad in all of life. What are you going to choose to focus on? You have a choice. You can focus on the good, noble, holy things, things that are good that make you so thankful and glad you might even laugh, and that will affect how you feel. But there are some times where it's not appropriate to try to make someone laugh. If a comedian was hired at a funeral, that would be very distasteful, wouldn't it? That would be not appropriate, as one example. If someone found out that, you know, their child is missing, you don't try to make light of it with a joke to make them feel better. That would be stupid and careless and cruel. So there's a place for everything. And that's what Ecclesiastes teaches us. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4 says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. So there is a time to laugh. Maybe more times than we care to do, but there is a time to weep. There is a time to weep. Ecclesiastes 7, verses 2 to 4, does say that it's better to be sorrowful and in the house of mourners than in the house of feasting. Now, I'm going to let you look at the context of those verses. The context and understanding what they're talking about decides when that's to be true. But certainly, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We mourn like righteous Lot over the wickedness all around us. There's a place for mourning. There's a place in Psalm 119 that says, I cry, I mourn, I grieve over the fact that people won't do your law. There's a place for that. Psalm 42, verse 7 says, deep calleth unto deep. And the context, if you read the whole verse, has the idea of sorrow and being able to identify with somebody who's going through it too. Like, we can talk to each other. We can communicate. And Rachel has befriended a girl her age in Ohio who just, as you know, lost her mother to cancer about a year ago this month. And she's been talking to Rachel for comfort, and Rachel's been able to comfort her, deep calling unto deep, knowing that kind of mourning. So I'm not saying that there's never a place for that, and if I did, it would be very sinful. It would give you an unrealistic way to live life. Romans 12, verse 15 does say, rejoice with them that do rejoice. And there's nothing worse than not having a friend rejoice with you when you have something to rejoice with. You know what I mean? You just did something great at work. You just graduated. You just got an award. And you come home and you want to be excited. And if the person, oh, okay. Oh, that's such a lonely feeling. There's nothing worse than someone who won't rejoice with you, right? But similarly, it says in Romans 12, 15, weep with them that weep. And there's nothing worse than weeping and having people run from you because they don't want to weep with you. And they give you no comfort. So both are true. And the context, again, will help you know when and where. But as I said when we started the book on contentment about a year ago or more, I said, I want to work on contentment. I don't want to be sad forever. I don't want to be sad forever. That's a horrible way to live life. I want to work through this, and I want to learn how to be happier. And that's what we did, and God rewarded it. Yet you can always be glad, even in your discouraging, difficult, depressing times. You know why? Because this word for Mary could be translated glad. And can you not always be glad for salvation? I mean, when you hear the word glad, can't you almost hear gratitude, thankfulness, which God says is his will for us, along with being holy, sanctified in the New Testament? You can always be glad because you can always be grateful because, again, you deserve to go to hell. You and I deserve to go to hell. You and I deserve life to be a lot worse than it is. Don't you find yourself saying, boy, I'm glad that never had the effect I thought it should have had on me? Don't you find yourself thankful for all that God spares you of, that he should publicly expose you to and make you pay the last farthing? And, you know, couldn't you be glad for that? Have a light, merry heart. Oh, thank you, God. That's the thing that they taught us in the studies in contentment. Think about what should happen to you and be glad it hasn't. That'll make you content. Think about what should happen to you. All the bad things you've done. All the things that could have happened to you just by the way life is dangerous and didn't. You can be glad for that. You could even laugh. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving me from that. Such as Paul writes in Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Then he goes on in Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice. How can I rejoice? In the Lord. In the Lord. I can always rejoice in the Lord. J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, you third. Joy. I can always rejoice in the Lord if I put him first, if I truly put him first. Now, Paul says, I don't have a problem telling you to rejoice. I can say it again, he says, right? In Philippians 3. And then later in Philippians, he says twice, again, rejoice. Paul, you don't understand my problems. Okay, where was Paul writing from, do you remember? This is what we call one of his jail, prison epistles. Paul is writing while he is in jail, while he is imprisoned. He's telling us to be joyful while he's in prison. You think that might make you sad to be in prison? I can tell you it will. Our brother, our member, Sean Halstead, he is regularly writing, asking for prayer to try to have good spirits because prison is very depressing. Especially when he may never get out, although we rejoice he might now. He's been there over 20 years. That can weigh on you. Paul is writing from prison, and he's saying, you need to rejoice. Don't tell me, Paul could say, that I don't know problems. You want to read what I said in 2 Corinthians? You want to remember all the stuff I went through? And especially the thing that makes me the most depressed, working with the church. It's not the beatings. It's not the shipwreck. It's doing church work. That's heavy. That'll weigh your soul down, let me tell you. Don't tell me, Paul could say, I don't know about depression. Don't tell me, Paul could say, I don't know about hard times and affliction. I do. I am writing to you in my prison. And I'm telling you to follow my example. Philippians 4, do what I do and you'll be happy. Follow how I say to think and you will have the peace of God. You'll have the God of all peace give you the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Keeping your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You can be content. I've learned how to be content. I'm writing you from prison. I can testify to this, he says. You can do it. You can do all things. You can certainly choose to have laughter. Or as he says, you can choose to rejoice. And if you choose to rejoice in the Lord by focusing on the good things the Lord has given you and the things he has spared you of, especially eternal hellfire and brimstone, can you not rejoice in that? And that will help you feel better. You see, your tears of sorrow can be turned into tears of joy. Isn't that amazing how we can often look almost the same when we're crying as we do laughing? The only difference is whether our mouth goes up or down. But the eyes and the color in our face, and usually lots of tears down our eyes if we're having a good laugh, can almost look like crying. But it's amazing how we can feel different, although a good cry can make you feel better too. Turn that frown upside down. Gotcha. You smiled. You couldn't help it. got you again. You couldn't help it. I'm thankful I'm in front of a lighthearted group of people. Sometimes it wouldn't matter what I do. I wouldn't get some people to smile. But you see how quickly I could make you smile by choosing, instead of to frown, to Turn that frown upside down. Now, yes, I am borrowing that from a toy store that I've learned is now out of business, from an old ad campaign, but I like it. Turn that frown upside down. You might say, you might come to sometimes when it's the right and appropriate time. I know you're sad, but I think it's time to have a laughing break. Let's turn that frown upside down. Last week we said, you know, let's go take a break and listen to some music. This week, you know, let's take a break and go watch something or listen to something that will make us laugh. Or let's remember a funny story that we know and let's laugh together. Rejoicing in the Lord can include laughing about life's crazy things to get through painful things. I couldn't help but think of, we talk about this a lot, Fernanda and I say we're so similar. And that's not all a challenge. Some of it is really great. We laugh a lot together. And I remember thinking, oh, we don't speak the same language together. I wonder if she'll be able to understand my jokes. I wonder if we'll be able to laugh. I said, well, maybe not. That'll be okay. And I said to the kids pretty early, I said, she's funny. She's got a sense of humor. She understands my humor. Oh, cool. And we laugh a lot. Sometimes she'll say jokes to me early on, like, I didn't expect that. She like kind of plays and teases me. I'm like, I like that. You know, we can have fun. It can make life more lighthearted. And her niece, Nicole, in Boston, when I was visiting, I guess, said to her one time, as she observed us when she's in the back, we're driving around in the car or at her mom's house, and her niece said to her, he's just like you. You're both crazy. Fernanda says to us a lot, we are both loco. She says, you are loco. I say, I know, and I know you like it. And you're loco, and I like it, you know, because we laugh. We can laugh, and it's fun. Last night, she made me walk on her feet, which I thought was so crazy. First, she walked on my feet, and I said, it's like we're a penguin, and then she started laughing. And I said, now you walk on my feet. I don't want to walk on your feet. I'm a lot heavier than you. I'm going to break your feet. But then I did, like, oh, that's kind of nice. And we walked, I know it sounds funny, but I'm glad we walked around the room, this penguin dance like this, you know? And her toes are tickling the middle of my feet, and I'm like, this is fun. I don't even have to pay for this at an amusement park. I know it sounds funny. I don't know why she asked me to do it, but I had a good laugh. You're all laughing because I look like a silly penguin. But you see how easy it is to give yourself a little mess. Some of you are going to go home and try that tonight, right? Kids, don't try this at home. Consult your physical therapist before you try this one. I don't know how it'll work for you. But, you know, it's just we have good laughs together. And when we laugh, she laughs like I do. I cry hard. When I cry, I'm on the floor. And when I laugh, I'm on the floor. And she laughs the same, so it's really fun to laugh with her. We are both loco. So thank you for dealing with this loco preacher a little bit longer. I want to share with you, just like I did with music, some things that I found helpful for laughter. Take them or leave them. Again, just trying to whet your appetite, give you something to go home and find a good laugh with. Prime the pump for you to find other things if you like. And some of the things I'm not listing, I've decided I won't, but I could tell you later. The last 2 years, as you know, our family would say, we need to laugh. You know, we just need to take a break. We need to laugh. And Rachel would find these different videos on YouTube that were so funny. And very often, it'd be late at night, we're getting depressed and tired, and says, you know what? We need to go to bed, but we need to have a good laugh. And this was some of the therapy that helped us cope and work through it and move forward. Laughter. One of them is a TED Talk called Inside the Mind of a Procrastinator. I really encourage you to watch this. Some of you have already, you're already laughing. Some of it's because you're a procrastinator, aren't you? Inside the Mind of a Procrastinator. Whether procrastinators make you crazy or whether you are a procrastinator, both of you will get a good laugh, because usually when it's good, funny laughter, you're like, I know that's so true. You do that. I do that. You know, so Inside the Mind of a Procrastinator, it is really funny. They talk about the procrastination monkey, and he has these cute little drawings. And then there's finally what gets him to do the work is that the panic monster comes out, you know, and he just takes you in the mind. It's really funny. And what made me think of that is when I was in Boston, we were talking also with Nicole, and they were kind of teasing she's a bit of a procrastinator, and I couldn't resist but watch this. So I got it out while Fernanda was cleaning from dinner, and Nicole and I watched this in the, And Fernando coming out and kind of look at us like, what is with you guys? Because we were just losing it. We were laughing like crazy watching inside the mind of a procrastinator. But it makes me think of another thing that's really funny to hear. Fernando always says this, as she said it that night. I guess she got this in her college education. Okay. Teach a little different in Brazil. No, just kidding. Okay, everybody says funny things sometimes. So she's a lawyer. I'm just teasing, you know. But apparently one of her professors taught her this maxim. Never do tomorrow what you can do after tomorrow. Look at you. You're left. You're expecting to. That's a fun play, right? Oh, because sometimes Abraham just pretends laughs and it makes us laugh. But they'll do it now. Okay, so, but isn't that funny? Never do tomorrow, and we're thinking we're going to hear you say what? What you can do today. Never do tomorrow what you can do the day after tomorrow. Oh, dear. That's funny. That's funny, right? That's clever. Okay. So I also showed her niece in Boston what Rachel found is hilarious. And we were watching this with Pastor Torlak and his wife in Australia. And they were going, they were laughing so hard. It's just really funny. This guy's name is James Veach. Now, you have to be mindful once in a while of a thing or two you might need to pass through, but generally it's clean and hilarious. Some things you can look for is how he starts replying to spam email. He starts pursuing them so much that they start saying, would you please stop writing to me? But he gets this conversation going and he's playing with them and he's making them think, yeah, let's invest in gold. That's not enough. Let's do more. Let's go all the way. You know, and he's playing all these games. And finally the guy says, don't talk to me anymore. I got to go to bed, you know, for days and days. It's hilarious. He shares this conversation. And another message, another video is shown on a talk show. Look up James Veach with ducks. We're talking about not animal ducks, but the rubber ducks. And some of you are laughing. Maybe you've seen it. And he's just he just likes to have fun with his roommates. And his roommate says, you see the texts, messages going back. Hey, we need to talk about the ducks. Ducks? What ducks? The ducks. Ducks in the bathroom. Oh, those ducks. Yeah. Well, he has a bunch of little rubber duckies. And he starts to get clever, and he likes to play with his roommates, and he just starts to put them all through the bathtub. And then he starts to make out movie scenes. And then they become more and more, and he's got music, and they're all around the floor, and armies and kings around the knight's table. Marriages are happening, and he reenacts one of the scenes from the Titanic movie. And his roommate finally says, I'm telling you, this has got to stop. It's too many ducks. I couldn't get to the shower this morning. He said, oh. So no more tiny ducks? Right, no more tiny ducks. And then all the audience went, oh, and he says, oh, you're following, you're tracking. She didn't. No more tiny ducks. So then there's these big, huge ducks in the bathroom, you know. One's in the toilet. One's in the book, you know. And then no more ducks. And he says, oh, can I just have one duck? All right, one duck. And then you hear, ding, 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 ding. And then you go into the bathroom, ding, 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 ding. And it's this, I don't know where you get a duck like this. It's this gigantic, blown-up duck that takes up the entire bathroom. So, and then his roommate says, you are nuts. And he replies back, no, I'm quackers. That's good, right? That's funny. So you might look that up. Okay. If you'll bear with me more, a few more. How about cute baby videos? Cute animal videos? Although, boy, I chose the wrong one the first time we watched with Fernanda. This guy holds a baby that can stand up straight on his hand. I said, I promise, honey, I'll never do that with our child. So you got to be careful what you watch. But there's just some really funny things the kids will do and the animals will do. Go look up some cute baby animal YouTube videos and have a good laugh and go to bed. I can't help but ask maybe for another one of Deacon Renner's bell ringer acts. Every time he does Quasimodo and the bell ringer, he does this. And, you know, I am on stitches. We're all laughing. And I was thinking, Fernanda has not seen this yet. So maybe you could do it tonight in fellowship, and maybe we could even record it and put it on YouTube. Oh, maybe not. I don't know. I think it would get millions of views. I'm telling you, it's funny. Well, I always think of that, and I start laughing. And I ask him to do it all the time. Why? Why do you think I ask him to do it all the time? Because it makes me laugh a lot. And then when it makes me laugh a lot, I feel really good. That's the idea of the proverb. You might look for some Christian comedy. And again, you got to be careful sometimes with this, but there are some Christian comedians that are just so funny. Tim Hawkins is one I learned about when Mrs. Delgado was over with us once, and he's really funny. And man, does he have some funny stuff about homeschooling. And there's a few things I wouldn't approve of. You gotta be discerning, but he's pretty funny. Another, if you look up the show called Bananas, you can remember that one, right? Bananas. It's a Christian comedy club. Used to be in Ohio. I don't know if it's going on anymore, but you can probably find it and watch some comedians at Bananas. Usually they're Christian. And if they're not, they have to be clean. The guy that used to run it was a man named Thor Ramsey. Thor Ramsey. He's actually, I guess, a pastor too. You can find a lot of Thor Ramsey on YouTube. He's hilarious. He's just hilarious. And I actually saw him. The first time I ever learned of him was in Los Angeles. I was flown from Pittsburgh for something with work, and they had a big dinner, and he was the comedian, and he was just standing on the floor at the same level as the tables with a microphone. I was dying. I was rolling on the floor, which was embarrassing because I was the table right in front of him. I was in front of all these people, and I'm like, I couldn't control myself. He's so funny that I looked him up immediately, and I like to look his videos up when I need a good laugh. So I try to give you some resources. Maybe you'll watch it and say, I don't know what you see. I don't think he's funny at all. That can happen, but try it out. What about Abbott and Costello? Who's on first? The first time I ever saw that video was when I was at Cooperstown, New York, at the Baseball Hall of Fame. Perfect place to first see it. And I was in that museum. Who's on first? I don't know. No, I don't know who's on second. What's on third? I was laughing so hard. And I said, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I couldn't stop laughing. I think I was 9, you know. And, you know, go home and watch Abbott and Costello. Hilarious timing. Okay, I got some jokes for you. These are jokes written by kids, I believe, from a YouTube video I found. I think they were written by kids for kids. I was going to try to get them from the Highlights magazine my children have, but I didn't have time for that, so I give these some of you. Don't worry, there's no knock-knock jokes. What do mermaids wash their fins with? What do mermaids wash their fins with? Tide. Get it? Okay. This is great. I might not quit my night job. Okay. I might quit my day job. No, I won't. How does that go? Never mind. Let me get back to the script. Okay, here's the next joke. Did you know in King Arthur's time, one of the knights of the round table collected taxes? His name was Surcharge. Surcharge. Is that good? Okay. Surcharge. He collected taxes. Sir summons. Okay, let's move on. Okay, what kind of car does an egg drive? What kind of car does an egg drive? A Volkswagen. Ba-dum-bum. I'll be here all night, folks. Well, until it's time for dinner. Okay. What do you call someone who gets mad when they don't have any bread? What do you call someone that gets mad when they don't have any bread? Lactose intolerant. That's pretty good. I like that. I can see Mr. Raglan liking these the best. He's got that dry sense of humor with the play on words here. Makes me think of some of the jokes you'll bring to us. Okay. What was the foot's favorite type of chips? What was the foot's favorite type of chips? Doritos. Okay. If spaghetti made an action movie, what would it be called? If spaghetti made an action movie, what would it be called? Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible. Okay. What do you call a lazy doctor? What do you call a lazy doctor? Doctor Doolittle. All right, here's the last one before you throw me out of here or throw tomatoes at me. What is Starbucks' favorite city? Of course, Starbucks coffee shop, right? What is Starbucks' favorite city? Fort Lauderdale. All right, sorry, they're not all that the best, but Another thing that makes me laugh, like I can't stop laughing, it doesn't matter how many times I watch this, is the comedian Will Ferrell, when he accepts the award, the Mark Twain Prize for comedy. They've seen it. It's so funny. It's so funny. He walks out there, real serious, the music's playing. You know, real this big award, the place is packed, you know, and he's walking out there, he's holding the bust of Mark Twain's head, and he drops it. And it busts on the floor, and it turns into all this dust. He's like, and he lets you think it was an accident, but he planned it, you know. But you're like, everybody's like, so it must not be the real bust. And then he kind of puts it up on the pedestal and tries to put the face and the nose back together. You know, I want to thank you all for this prestigious award. I promise I will always keep very good care of it. You know, like in fact, I rented a seat on the plane for it, and I told the children if they touch it, I will beat them. You know, but here it is. He's driving, and then he starts teasing his wife in the balcony, and she's like, she can hardly keep it together. She's laughing so hard, and that's probably one of the funniest things I've ever watched. So, that would be something I would recommend for a good laugh. But then it doesn't always have to be quite so involved. It can be just more natural. I think of Abraham and the way he can be so silly. And sometimes I can get a little tough on him about it. He is 9 years old. But Fernanda loves it. She just loves it. And I watch her, I'm like, I guess I need to be more patient with Abraham. You know? But she will just smile. And sometimes when she needs help feeling better, Abraham will just come in the room. Sometimes I'll say, go make mommy smile. Yeah, you can do it better than me. And he'll come in, and he gets a big smile. Yes, I love to make mommy smile. And he'll just start being silly. He doesn't even have to do anything all that inventive or imaginative. He'll just start going, you know, and she'll start laughing. I'm like, I don't get it. That's not even a joke, you know. And she'll just start laughing, and her face will just brighten up. She might be not feeling well, and she'll go, Abe, I love you. You are the best. You know, sometimes it can just be that. You see, the ability to minister to someone, making them laugh. But let it be self-deprecating humor. Don't make fun of other people. Make fun of yourself. Now be careful, because some people will take advantage of that and think it's an invitation to make fun of you, so you got to watch out. But sometime tell your silly stories about things that have happened to you in life and have a good laugh and let people laugh with you. Some of my stories are one of these times, when I was still a bachelor and I didn't know how to dress myself, I was in my early 20s, and I went to a church that had Easter services. I thought, you know what? I'm going to dress up really happy today. I'm going to dress with colors that look great, make other people smile. And I had this jacket, and it had lots of yellow in it. Perfect, I thought, for Easter. And it was plaid. And I thought, now I have to match the tie. And I got this tie. Yes, it's got yellow in it too. Yellow, yellow. Perfect. I match. I look good. And then I went, I really thought I did too. I was pretty proud of myself. Yeah, how you doing, you know. And I went to church, and I still remember the lady's name is Hilda in this Dutch Reformed church. And she was more elderly. She stopped in her tracks. She's walking by, and I'm coming in the room. I'm thinking I'm going to be the talk of the town. Everybody's like, oh, you look so sunny. I start walking there, hey. And she stops in her tracks. I mean, she literally stopped and looked at me like I was Satan. You know, I think she thought I was trying to offend her because it was so bad. Well, it didn't occur to me that plaid tie does not go with a plaid jacket. So yes, it had yellow, but they were both plaid. So a plaid tie and a plaid jacket looks ridiculous. And when I got home, I looked in the mirror, I'm like, oh, now I see. Oh, you know. So you had a good laugh hearing that silly story. Here's another silly story at my expense. So I'm having a business meeting years ago in Pittsburgh. Yeah, he's a friend from church, and we work together at the seminary. But, you know, it's a business meeting. We're talking money. We're talking decisions. And I'm having my drink. Some of you know the story. Real serious. And I lift my drink up. I pull my drink down. And my straw is no longer in my cup. Do you know why?
Because it's in my nose! So, somehow, I mean, I don't think I could have done this again if I aimed for my nostril, but unawares to me, oh, and the nose is sticking out, the straw is sticking out of my nose! And I'm like, and how do you can't hide that. You can't hide that, you know. How do you try to handle that, you know, like, it's not like there's a little piece of, you know, lettuce on my teeth. And, you know, it's not like I have a little bit of a something coming out of my nose where I just quickly kind of go, you know, no, I got a straw hanging out of my nose. I just got to go, oh, excuse me, what else am I going to do, you know. And then after that... And then after that, listen to this. No, it gets worse. Now I'm bleeding. My nose is bleeding. And I have to hold a napkin to my nose while we're talking. What are you laughing at, Isaac? No, yeah, it's funny. See, now you see, that laugh right there is what I live for. That hearty cackle. When I'll hear him laughing in another room, he's watching one of his shows that makes him laugh. He laughs like that. And I start laughing and feeling good. You see, it makes me laugh to tell you these stories. I feel good. I'm not going to go on tour. I feel good. And it makes me feel good to see you laugh. And I think you feel good. Am I wrong? Huh? I see some tears, but I see smiles. I see, like, please don't tell another joke. You know, I want to get out of here without losing it. Yeah. It makes me laugh to help you laugh. It makes me feel good, and it makes you feel good to laugh. I know you all have problems in your life right now. Some of you have really big problems in your life right now. You feel a little better? Was it good to have a laugh? Amen. Me too. Me too. It's not the answer to life. It's some medicine for life. And you can't overdose. Unless you're laughing too late, loud at night, and go to bed, girls! You know, but you can't really overdose. You can take as much of this as you want, and there are no bad side effects. It's perfect. They ought to be prescribing this in certain places, along with knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. We all feel better. We all feel closer, and if we can get Elder Renner to do his bell ringer joke again tonight, that'll be a nice way to end the night. You see, beloved, all that being said, the message is laughter can minister. Laughter can minister. God's proverbial wisdom has been experienced. We've experienced that tonight, and I got to tell you, I was nervous. I said, I'm not funny when I try hard to be funny. I'm kind of funny when I'm shooting off the cuff, like, last night when Fernanda and I were walking around the plaza, there was some music playing, 50s music and stuff from Sprouts, I think. And I just can't help it. I start moving. She starts laughing. You know? Well, what do you think happens when she starts laughing? Do I stop? Oh, no. Then I really... Yeah. It's better than that. That, I don't know what that was. I never did that before. But, you know... We were walking around Whole Foods, and man, they have the greatest music. And I'm sorry. Waiting for her to decide which one. Yeah. And thankfully, she doesn't say, "Will you stop if somebody's looking at us?" She laughs with me, so then I do it more. But you know, it's just you feel better, and you feel closer. And I don't know about you, but I need more of that in my life. Don't you? Don't you? I mean, and, you know, I bring my own problems on me plenty of times. But here's an antidote. Here's an antidote to help us feel better. You know, we can say, look, we gotta make things better, or we got to endure this hardship the Lord's giving to us. But you know what? We can choose to listen to some music right now to take the edge off. Let's find something to make us laugh. And you know, maybe you need a little time. You don't laugh the same way sometimes when you're down. But if you give it a try, and then you give another one, the next thing you know... You know what I mean? Like, you can get there. And once you get there, the proverb is telling you it's medicine for you. It will fill you up. It will make your face shine like you just put some nice cream or oil on there.
you'll feel better. The message is laughter can minister. Laughter can minister. Thank you for letting me minister to you tonight. The Lord just showed me. Yeah, it does. I just saw it. I see it still. And I feel ministered because I got to enjoy your laughter and laugh with you. It ministered to me. Praise the Lord for this proverbial truth he has allowed us to experience together. Let's go out and laugh this week. I command you, thus saith the Lord, go laugh. Okay? Okay? All right. Everybody, let me get a smile. Okay. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we do thank you for merry hearts that you have given us this evening. We thank you for laughter. We pray you give us discernment to keep it clean and fun and happy and appropriate. But let us laugh, for you give us an abundant life. You give us joy unspeakable. We can laugh. We can laugh better than anybody because we don't have the weight of hell holding down our shoulders. It's been taken off of us. We can be glad and rejoice with laughter in you, as Zacchaeus was so happy that Jesus and salvation had come to his house. Thank you for coming to our house with salvation. Let us be happy like him. And let us seek laughter. We have a choice. When we choose laughter, it doesn't mean we're denying our pain, but it does mean we're choosing how to help ourselves through the pain. And Lord, we don't want to laugh in an inappropriate way with someone who's suffering in a way that the time is for weeping, not for laughter. But we recognize, Lord, even in long periods of discouragement, we just need laughter breaks. So we ask that you would help us to remember this wisdom offered to live life, that we would let music bless us, and that we would let, as we see tonight, three times we're told, that we would let laughter, a merry, glad heart, minister to us and minister to others. We know what it's like to be around someone that makes us laugh compared to being around someone that makes us depressed. Let us be the people that have others going away saying, that person makes me laugh. Or if that person is weeping, it's a sincere weeping because I see them handling it with the joy of the Lord. Oh Lord, let us indeed have a sorrow that is not like this world without hope. And let us have a life that is not like this world without true, genuine, sincere, free, Holy Spirit, heaven-induced laughter. But we recognize the Proverbs are telling us we have to have wisdom to make this choice. If we will enjoy the benefit, help us to choose wisely. And let us laugh. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.